great to be here. I'm sure some of you guys are getting hungry already, so I'll try to make this quick. Jesus loves you. Good night. This is the best service that we've ever been to. I'm so glad that I was invited here. I came here because of Ron, you know, because he is my friend. But I'm here to meet you. My wife and I, we often get invited to come to places all over to go share the gospel. But we share the gospel in a unique way. We are very, very focused on, as Pastor Ron said, the inner world. We want to help people to heal, experience freedom. That way, those things that stand in the way of us coming to know Christ in deeper ways, to live this deeper life that I've been asked to come to speak at, so we can live this life. Let me quickly tell you a little bit about my family. Okay, I wasn't able to put a picture of those of you who were here on Saturday, right? You saw a picture of my family, and you saw a picture of my wife. Her name is Michelle. She's a marriage and family therapist. So she is a clinician, right? And I am what Ron was trying to describe, a spiritual coach, or I like to describe myself as a soul coach, right? And I try to help people, really coach them in this inner world, addressing the things that really, stand in the way, the things the brokenness that's there and the things that we wrestle with. And, you know, again, this is not judgment or criticism. We all have this. We all struggle with our inner world, our souls. So I get to do this. But again, if you saw the picture of my wife, you'll see how beautiful she is. Right? I mean, so beautiful. I mean, real beautiful. Okay, all right, back here. All right, she's so beautiful that you... I always laugh or chuckle when you will say, how on earth did you manage to... I know. I hear this my entire life. We've been married like 21 years, and I still hear it to this day. And after a while, I'm like, man, that hurts my feelings. But you know, I'm telling you, this is who our God is, right? Jesus is real. That's why I was able to marry such a beautiful wife. And we have two beautiful daughters, too, Sophia and Emma Jay. But when I discovered that we're going to have daughters, I was, Lord Jesus, please. Please make them look like my wife, but throw like me. And both of them are good athletes as well. Very unique. Their personalities are so different. And they come from two parents, but they have their own personality. But this is the way that God is, right? He creates each of us so uniquely, so wonderfully. And it's so beautiful. You ever want to read about something, the way that God creates us in such unique, wonderful ways, read Psalm 139. It's so beautiful. It's an incredible testimony of the greatness of God and how intimately He wants to know us and wants us to know Him. And that's kind of what I was invited to come here with, to talk about the deeper life. Now, I had to wrestle with my deeper life. The journey that I have with Him. But in order to live this life, I really had to deal with all of the brokenness in my soul. Let me tell you one other thing about myself. I'll give you a little context of how amazing God is and this journey that I've had the privilege to go on with Him. So I was a really, really bad person. I mean, I had such a broken life. So my family, they just worried that I wouldn't end up in jail or just dead. That was my life. So we have a legacy of faith in my family. We have people going down generations of faith, and everybody was wondering who was going to be in my generation. They never thought that it was going to be me, right? Except my grandmother, because you know she knows that God oftentimes chooses the bottom of the barrel, right? And Pastor Ron is laughing because he knows exactly what I'm talking about, because we're kind of both in the bottom of the barrel category, right, until we met Christ. But I had this really supernatural encounter with Him. But before I had this encounter with Him, I got to tell you, I had a drinking problem, right? This was me at 19 years old, Okay, I had a drinking problem. I smoked 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day. I had a gambling problem. Oh, okay, you name it. I had all of these problems, all of these addictions and whatnot. But that one time I encountered Christ, the Holy Spirit came and just burned everything out of me. Now, it doesn't happen with everybody, but it happened to me. Right? But I had this conversation with God after that. I said, God, why am I like this? You know, why was I doing certain things and I get so easily addicted? You know what he told me? He said, because I made you that way. I said, what? It's your fault? And he said, yes, I made you this way for one purpose and one purpose alone. Right? Silence. He didn't answer that until I discovered, he wanted me to become addicted to him. And I am absolutely, just unequivocally obsessed with God, right? But not just knowing information about God. I am just so in love with him. And I know he's so in love with me. And this journey that I get to go on, because of this love that he has for me and this love relationship that he's invited me to. Just case in point, you know, Pastor Ron made all those announcements, right, about the prayer, about a prayer night and the missions trips and all of those things. I want to tell you something. Those are all very important events for you to, you know, be a part of. But, you know, I want to tell you, those are not just events that you are being invited to. It's all part of this love relationship with God. You know, we just get to pray. We just get to go on missions trip. But it's all part of this journey of life and faith that we get to go with God. And that's what this deeper life is all about. All of us sitting here today have a relationship with God. What I'm trying to tell you is that God is inviting us to go deeper with him. Because this is who he is, right? He wants to love us. He wants us to know of this love. By the way, right? You know, many of you have heard why Jesus Christ came to this earth and how incredibly profound that is, so that he would save us from sin and death, from hell. Those are all true. But you know what? Something I discovered along my journey, as incredible as it is, it's actually not that incredible. I know some of you are like, heresy. No, I'm that's not heresy. Hear me out here, right? Because if you had an opportunity to save all of humanity, I know this would be hard, right? If you had an opportunity to save all of humanity for all of history, right? As difficult as it is, and as much as I love my daughters, I may go ahead and make that sacrifice, as hard as it is. If I were to able to save all of humanity, so what is the big deal? It is a big deal that God sacrificed his son, right? But the profoundness of that act is this, is because he didn't have to do it. He's God. He could have just said, do over. But he didn't. He still said, I will send my son to die for you so that we can continue this love relationship. That's the profoundness of the sacrifice of Christ. He didn't have to do it. He did it because he loves us. And this is the life. And this deeper life, one of the most significant for you to remember about this deeper life that God is inviting us to is the one who is inviting us. It's that God. Who sacrificed even though he didn't have to. He didn't have to, folks. He's God. But he chose to do it anyway. That's the kind of profound love that he's inviting us to. This love relationship. That's the deeper life. Now, what I want to do this morning is, I want to talk about one of the significant part of journeying, you know, with God in this deeper life and with one another. And it's this idea right here. The idea of the beyond. Right. Sometime last year, God, and he does this every year, he gives to me a word or an idea, a picture, that drives a lot of the things that I do for the upcoming year, right? But meeting with all the people, ministries that I do with my own life. And this is the theme that he has given to me, right? Engaging God's invitation into the deeper life. But it takes, right, knowing who is inviting us, but going beyond what we're familiar with and what we become comfortable with. Every single one of you here are here for a reason, right? You come here because you have some kind of relationship with God. Some of you might be here because, you know, my mama told me to come here, or I can't play Nintendo, or, you know, whatever, right? She threatened me. Okay, I'm just saying, no judgment, no condemnation. I'm just talking about reality, right? But it's okay, right? So there is some level, whatever stage of life and faith you have, you're here, right? Because you have some kind of relationship with God. And you have become used to this. You've kind of settled on this. And what I'm trying to tell you is that God is inviting us to go beyond that. Again, remember who's inviting you. He would never invite you to do something that's harmful for you or that's bad for you. This God of love is inviting you to join him in this journey of life and faith that will be the fulfillment beyond your wildest imagination, okay? Beyond. Okay, before we go ahead, let's go ahead and read today's text, all right? It comes from John chapter 14. It's a very familiar text. Some of you guys are familiar with this. Some of you guys have memorized John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, right? And this is part of it. This is what comes right after what he says. But there are a lot of other texts, very significant. And I'll give you a little context in a moment, but let's go ahead and read this together, okay? John 14. Everybody together now, okay? That's what it means to read together, okay? So here we go. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. Will you turn to the person next to you and say, that's the Word of God? Yeah, it is the Word of God. So I read this article, maybe a year ago, but it was an article about a research that was done maybe 2011, 2012, right? It's from Christianity Today, Psychology Today, I'm sorry, Psychology Today. And I read this article, and it said this: at least one in four people experience estrangement. Do you guys know what estrangement is? Right? When your family members no longer see each other, right? They've made the choice to be separated. Right, so one in four, right? And our family, we have four members. One in four family members are estranged with each other. They make the choice to no longer talk to one another, to see one another. Right, from a family member. While another study found that one in ten have cut off a parent or a child. Basically, they've disowned them. Say, I no longer want to be a part of your life. That's a really disturbing statistic, isn't it? And I was looking at that, and I was very disturbed. And as a pastor, these are one of the things that I am passionate about, helping people, helping families, helping marriages to heal, right, to experience freedom, right, so that we may have experienced traumas in our lives, but the generations who come after us, they don't have to, and we don't have to. This is one of the things that we're passionate about. My wife and I are very passionate about. But when I read this, I was really, really disturbed, sad. But then I realized, actually, my family is part of this statistic. Right? My wife, right, she and our family have become estranged from her parents. They live in Tennessee. He is a retired United Methodist pastor. Do you know that even though you're a pastor, you got problems, right? Did you know that? Do you know that pastors got problems, right? Please know that we got problems. We're very human, okay? We don't, walk on water or float in the air, okay? We're very human. And so his brokenness, he has lots of range, rage. Right? And the reason why, it's a really traumatic life that he lived, and a lot of pain and hurts. And so, but it comes out, and it hasn't been addressed. Anybody struggle with anger, by the way? Right? Okay, but no one likes to admit this, because whenever you are asked, you're so angry, right? Case in point, all right? But, you know, so in the midst of that, my wife has been really experiencing this throughout her whole life, and I've seen this firsthand. Right, and at one point I couldn't take it anymore because what kind of husband would I be if, you know, in public, my father-in-law would berate my wife, right? But the thing that you have to know, and you know this because the Asian culture is like this, right? Within the family structure, the patriarch is the number one guy. It doesn't matter, right? If she is your wife, she is first his daughter. Do you know that's not actually biblical, right? You know, when you get married, do you know who your primary relationship is with? It's your spouse, no longer your parents. That's what the Bible tells us. But because of our culture, we live in a culturally driven, Christianity where, you know, even though my father-in-law is a pastor, he continues to demand this respect from him. By the way, whenever you demand respect, it becomes disrespect. Anyway, I just made that up. He would just say and do things. So I basically one day told him, stop. Don't ever talk to my wife like that again. And he was so furious, right? He's a small guy, too. And he wanted to fight me. I said, first of all, Ron was talking about how, all these descriptors of what I do as a pastor, right? Sometimes I like to say I'm a spiritual ninja. I will MMA. I told him, I told Michelle's mom, what kind of husband would you think of me, right? If anybody would say anything to your daughter like that. Speak to your daughter. And then, he did what a lot of Asians, a lot of Koreans do. He said, okay, I disown you. Right? I know they don't do that in your culture, but they do it in our culture. Of course they do it in your culture. Right? They disowned us. And you know what I told them? I told them, that's okay. Because you never owned us. How could you disown us when you never owned us? Right. He was so furious. So for 2 years, we were estranged. 2 years. Right. We don't know what's happening with them, right? But we know what's happening with us. Michelle very courageously went. She's a therapist. She's a counselor. And she sought out help. You know therapists need therapists, right? Do you know that pastors need pastors as well as therapists? Right? We need lots of help, man, right? So we go ahead, and she's working hard on her soul, right? So I waited 2 years, right, so that she would be ready. Right? And in 2 years, I was just waiting, but I didn't know it was going to be 2 years. So it's a long time. So last Christmas, she says, Sam, I think we're ready. I said, ready for what? Right? She goes, I think I'm ready to go down, see my mom and dad. I was really surprised. I was so proud of her, but man, 13-hour drive. Okay, we'll do this, for the sake of the glory of Christ. And so we drive down, and we meet with them, and they were very open. They were really contrite. We couldn't ask for more, as God really did a work. We didn't know how much work God was doing in them. And I asked Michelle, you want me to stay here with you? He goes, nope. Right, I got this. I was so proud of her. All right, so, we were in a different room, and they were talking, and I was praying. No, I trusted God to do his thing. And then, they were done. And then we went together, and then she said, it was great. Right? Not everything is fixed. There was reconciliation. Right? He's still broken, right? But so are we. Right? God did his thing, and Michelle stewarded what God wanted her to do. Right? So it's a great testimony, and we're looking forward to the future where there's a lot more healing, lots of more freedom. But all of this story to say, some of you can relate to this, right? Some of you know what estrangement is like. Some of you know the pains, right? When someone rejects you, but especially by saying things like "I disown you," By the way, do you know why the older generation say things like that? Right? Or people say things like that? Because they don't know how else to describe it. They don't know how to process anything. They don't have the vocabulary to be able to say, I am hurt right now. Right? I'm in deep pain. And so they take it out and blame, and even though it's their fault in all of this. Right? So there's a lot of grace that's needed, but that's actually not our responsibility to heal them. Only God can heal them. And they have to take ownership of what they've done. We can only take ownership of our part in all of this. And this is what Michelle did. But in all of this, as I was thinking through all of these things, experiencing all of this, I started to ask myself this. And then I started asking a lot of people around me, what's a conversation that God is prompting me, right? Or when I'm talking to other people, what's a conversation that God is prompting you to have? Right? And it's oftentimes the more challenging ones. Because if they were easy ones, we'd just go ahead and do it. What's a conversation that God is inviting you to have, right? How about this? What's a conversation that God is prompting you to have that you don't want to have? That's probably a more descriptive question. Because there are some conversations, everybody, there are some conversations that we need to have. I know some of you guys are young. Right? And like, how on earth are we supposed to have any conversation with my parents? They won't listen to me. All right? Okay. But you can still prepare yourself to have that conversation as you continue to get older. Right? It's one thing to know that there's a conversation we need to have and then just kind of minimize it, dismiss it, and forget about it. Right? But it's another thing when God is the one prompting you that someday he wants you to have it. It doesn't have to be right now. But our willingness to have it is the important part. What is a conversation? Do you know? Is there a conversation that you don't want to have? But God is telling you, prepare yourself for this conversation. I know. It's such an annoying, right? Annoying, like, nosy question to ask. Why you got to be up in all of my business, right? I'm telling you, this is not me. God is the one who asked me, and I'm telling you, right? If you listen, these are questions that God will ask. What's a question, right? And our response to this prompting, right? Our attitude in response to this question or this prompting reveal a lot about how we will approach God's invitation to the deeper life, right? Meaning this. Remember I talked about what's familiar, what's comfortable. Every one of us are living this life of faith, right, whatever stage of life you may be, right, in the realm of what we are familiar with and what we're comfortable with. That, again, this is just a reality. We can only live in the way that in the way that we know, right, what we have been modeled to us, what we have been taught. So we continue to live it, and that's the familiar and that's the comfortable. And I'm not judging it. I'm not criticizing it. I'm just saying that's a reality, right? However, the problem here is when we continue to remain in what's familiar, what's comfortable, and just settle on that, we will struggle to see where God is calling us beyond. And I want to let you know, God will always invite us to the beyond because he's an infinite God. And what's familiar, what's comfortable, it may be familiar and comfortable to us, right? But God has so much more. So much. How much more? Infinitely more that he wants to invite his sons and daughters to. Right? And this is the invitation to the deeper life. If we are unwilling to go beyond what's familiar and comfortable, it will be incredibly challenging to live this spectacular deeper life with God. The kind of life that each and every one of us have been meant to live with him. Right? Now, I am a pastor at a Chinese American church. I'm a Korean guy. Korean-American guy serving in a Chinese-American church. Right? Go figure. Right? They hired, and people ask me, do you speak Chinese? No, but I speak English really well. Right? But they hired me because they know what I do. They know the kind of skill sets that I have and the passions that I have. They kind of label me as a change guy. Right? That when I come in, I help with life transformation, church transformation. But I'm actually not a change person. I'm just a perspective person. I offer perspective that's different than a lot of other people will see it. The changing only God can do. You know that? Only God can do the change. The perspective I give is the parts that God is inviting us to partner with Him with. God will never do our part. He will do His part. And He always does it perfectly. You know, sometimes we're asking God to do this. Do this for me. Right? And He says, sure, I'll do my part. And He's waiting for you to do yours. Now, you want an example of your part that He will never do, but He's inviting you to do? Repentance and confession. Why would God repent and confess, right? He will forgive. That's His part. He will prompt and He will invite. But we have to respond in obedience, right? We have to repent and we have to confess. That's our part. How about forgiveness? That's our part. He doesn't have to forgive, you know, the persons who have hurt us. Is there anybody here who you know, right? Remember that question I asked, a conversation that you need to have, that God is prompting you to have? Anybody you need to forgive? Anybody you need to ask for forgiveness? I guarantee you there is. You just need to wait on God and He will stir your soul. Just remember, only God can do what only He can do. He will not do what He wants us to do. Right? So, when it comes to change, right? When I went into this Chinese American church, they wanted us, they wanted me to help in the change. The problem was they didn't want to do the things that I kept on offering perspective about, right? And so I had to really sit down with them and say, hey, listen, right? You're paying me all this money. Actually, we're pastors. We don't get paid. Okay, anyway, all right? I'm not bitter. All right? So, you know, the reason why they're so resistant, right? They're so resistant to the change, even though they're asking for change, is because they put parameters into the change, right? They only want to do the change within what is familiar and what's comfortable to them, okay? And this is the thing that you have to understand. When Pastor Ron comes up here and he starts to talk about the inner world, he talks about life transformation, he talks about this incredible call upon West Valley Christian Alliance Church to go and reach the ends of the earth, challenging people to come to know, experience the love of Christ, all of that, it is a call to go beyond what is familiar, what is comfortable. By the way, the reason why churches die is because we have just settled on what is familiar, what is comfortable. Right? In the beginning, what's familiar, what's comfortable is fantastic. Oh, it feels so great, right? After a while, what's familiar and comfortable, right, is what really actually starts to tear down the church. Because we stop listening to God. God is constantly drawing us, inviting us to go to beyond. The reason why go to beyond, right, is not just to live a better life. It's because of the one who's waiting for us in the beyond. The one who invites us. Right? We want a journey with Christ. We have to be ready to respond to the call, the promptings, to the beyond. So when God invites us to do something, He determines the terms. Amen? I know, that's hard to say, right? No, I go, amen. Amen. Right? But our response is to Him in His terms. That's the only way. We don't get to set our terms. Anytime we set our terms, what ends up happening is we are operating within the realm of familiarity and comfortability. And God is inviting us to go beyond it. And finally, the whole premise of the idea of the beyond that God is inviting us to is to trust Him. You know, we are on a journey of life and faith. Faith involves trusting God, right? And you cannot trust anybody, including the God of the universe Himself, unless you know them relationally. This knowing God, right, is not about knowing information about God. Because James, the book of James actually says that demons know that there is one God. They know Him. They have no relationship, but they know Him. Do you know that there are people who are not even Christians that probably know more about God than us? Have you ever talked to a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon? They know the Bible inside and out. You ever talk to a Muslim? You know, they laugh at us. Could say, you, right, you believe, you say that there is one God, you believe in this God, you have no knowledge of this God. You don't know Him. you know, it's kind of true. Because they know more about the Bible than we do. But the knowing that God is inviting us to, right, has nothing to do with information or data. It's about knowing Him relationally. So whenever anybody would say, right, you don't even know the Bible, you say, you're right. I don't know the entire scripture. But I know God because I'm in relationship with Him. They cannot say that. Very few people can actually say, we have the privilege of being in relationship with Him. So the only way that we can trust God is to be in relationship with Him, intimate relationship with Him, and willing to respond to His invitations beyond what we're familiar and comfortable with. Now, I try to draw kind of an illustration, right? I don't know how well I did with this, to show, right, God's invitation, right, to obedience and our willingness, right, and what the reality, the present reality is. Listen to this, right? This circle right here is our willingness to obey God, right? It's pretty big, right? Because sometimes, you ever heard people sing and then, you know, the way we sing so passionately, oh, yes, God, you are God, right? I will obey you, singing all those songs. This is how big we sing. This is how big, you know, we talk about obedience to God, right? So, and this is actually what God is inviting us to, right? This is the obedience that God, does it look big? It's not actually that big. We think that it's the opposite, that God is inviting us to do these incredible things, right? He's inviting us to Africa, you know, to, I don't know, South America. Why would God invite you to go somewhere that you don't want to go, right? If we think that God wants us to give up all of these things, no, right? We overthink these things, right? God doesn't want to take stuff away from us. He wants to give us stuff. That's what a father does, right? So this is what God is inviting us to. Look at, you see this red part? Can you see this red part here? This part right here is our actual willingness to obey God. Because this right here is what we're familiar with, comfortable with. Right? Can you imagine if we, instead of talking big, simply, right, increase this red part right here, beyond what we're uncomfortable with, familiar with, and started to operate within what God wants. Let me tell you, that right there, that's life. We really start to live life then. Right? It's mysterious. That's why it's called a journey of faith, right? It is challenging. But man, this is when you start to really feel like you're living. Now, let me take us, it's difficult to grasp the possibilities of the beyond when we're not honest or are not willing to be honest, okay, about our present realities. Can I tell you something about willingness, right? That word willingness, right, that descriptive willingness is what God is looking for. He's not looking for perfect people, not people who has it all together. You want an example? You know those 12 disciples? They were so broken. One of them actually, right, betrayed him. Actually, all of them betrayed him, abandoned him. But God still chose them, not because of how they are. He looked into their hearts, and 11 of them were willing. They were so willing to follow him, right? And they might have had ulterior motives, right? But they eventually came around because of this willingness. To be honest or willing to be honest about our present realities. Hey, listen, if you're struggling in your journey of life and faith, be honest about it, right? Don't, you know, come and act like you are all okay, right? Present reality, right? Everybody here, except a few of us, I'm noticing, are Chinese American here. Right? But, you know, whatever, you know, ethnic or whatever background we have, we tend to live life, you know, through the lens of our context, you know, how we grow up and whatever. And the strongest culture, ethnic culture, our family of origin culture, really filters a lot of how we see life and faith. That's a reality, okay? That is a present reality we have to admit, right? Especially when Pastor Ron is going to start talking even more deeper about the inner world. Dealing with the things that are inside that no one else can see. Because we hide it so well. Can I just tell you our present reality? People can see that. You think you're hiding it from people, other people. Right? Well, your family knows it. People know the brokenness that you have. By the way, the other day, yesterday, last night, we're talking about revelation from God. Right? How God speaks to us. We hear his voice. I have a unique experience, you know, way that God speaks to me. Right? I walk into a room, right, and I do things like this. And sometimes God starts to put labels over people's heads. Right? And it's really freaky. The first time I saw this, I was like, what is going on here? Because right? Clearly there is no one's walking around with a label on their head, right? But God started to show me. And the labels, I started to see pornography, right? Drinking. Right? I started to see all of this brokenness, the struggles that they're having, estrangement. That is really disturbing the first time I saw it. And I started getting used to this because this is not about weaponizing those things. You know, God, when we hear God's voice, not to use it against somebody, the number one reason, he wants me to pray. I pray for them. But another reason is make myself available so that I can help them. Right? Help the people. Right? God wants to, he already knows the present realities. We may think that no one knows our present realities. We may not admit it, but at least God knows. And we want to be a church where we walk in transparency and vulnerability, right? So that people out there who are so broken can come to know that this church welcomes broken people. But if we're constantly acting like we're not broken people, even though we are, they're not going to feel safe to come into within the walls of this church. But the present reality is because of our culture, our Chinese culture, or whatever culture, right? We don't love. Well, don't go there, right? That's private. Why are you so nosy, man? Some people have said that to me. Why are you so nosy? Why are you asking all these questions? I said, you know, why are you struggling to answer some of these questions? Right? You came to see me. I didn't come to see you. Right? But, you know, our culture, and there's various cultures, there's even church culture, right? It's a present reality that we have to admit and actually repent of and confess. Right? Unless we are willing to be honest about it, we're going to struggle. And the realities of our past that shaped it, we're going to struggle to experience. Right? I want to take us to experience the beyond. Okay? Let me take us to this text. And I want to pack this just a little bit. Right? And then I will end here. Okay. This is actually a pretty familiar text. John chapter 14, many of us have read this. Right? This is where Jesus tells his disciples, right, I have to go away. Right? This is near his time. So he tells his disciples, I have to go away. And his disciples are distraught. It's like, where are you going? And Jesus tells them, right, I'm going to my Father. Right? And where I'm going, there are a lot of rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then Thomas says, right, asks this, right, well, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how are we going to know there? Because Jesus tells him, you know the way. You know the way there. Thomas says, we don't even know where you're going. How are we supposed to know where you're going? And this is when the famous John 14:6 text, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because if you know me, you will know the Father. This is how you know the way. Right? This is how you know where I am going and where you will be. Right? And then, you know, Philip goes ahead and says, right, Lord, show us the Father. Right? And that's all we need to know. And this is how Jesus responds. He goes, don't you know me, Philip? I want you to hold on to that thought. Don't you know me, Philip? Right? Even after I've been with you all this time, because if you know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, right? Don't you know the Father? And these are people who have been with Jesus for close to 3.5 years. And Jesus tells them, don't you know me? And you know this is a reality. Even though we're journeying with Jesus, been in the church our whole lives, then we don't really know Jesus. Right? Well, okay, we may know things about Jesus, right? Because we've studied it, but so much of it has been filtered through, right, our present realities. Right? So we don't necessarily know him intimately in this love relationship. That's why we struggle to trust him. Again, this is not judgment or no criticism. I struggle with this myself. But at least I have made the decision to say, I'm going to do my best to continue to engage him in this love relationship, right? Being honest about my present realities, right? So This is when this is how Jesus follows up. He said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me." Right? Who, not saying that whoever believes in the existence of God. Have you met people who say, "I believe that God exists"? Right? And I tell them, "Great, but do you really trust him?" That's the real question, isn't it? Do you trust the one that you believe exists? Because you can't just trust someone because you know them informationally. Because you Google this and you read up a whole lot about them, right? The only way you believe or trust someone is in this intimate relationship with me. Will do the works that I have been doing, that Jesus has been doing. But listen to this. And they will do even greater things than these. What? Even greater things than Jesus? What could that possibly be? He's Jesus. What could we possibly do that's greater than what Jesus did? Right? All those miracles? No. Jesus, the miracles that he did, I mean, there was never a time where Jesus did not do, right, heal somebody, do a miracle. Except, right, when he was in his own town, right, because of the lack of faith, he just chose not to do it. Right? But look at this. Great. What could be possibly greater? Remember Jesus walked the earth, you know, did ministry for how long? 3.5 years, right? We're going to do what Jesus is doing for more than 3.5 years. I think this is what Jesus is referring to when it comes to the greater things. The greater things that Jesus said that we will do is way beyond our capabilities and wildest imagination. Way beyond what's familiar, way beyond what is comfortable. Not just going through the motions of church, right? Because he is inviting us beyond all of this. And the only way that we're going to be doing this, right, is when we trust him to do his part and faithfully steward ours. It is to partner with the Holy Spirit. The only way we're going to be able to do anything beyond our wildest imagination is with the help of the Holy Spirit, of God himself. When we are filled. At the end of the text that we read, God said that we will send an advocate, right? He will send an advocate, the Holy Spirit. Do you guys know what an advocate is? Anybody in law here? Really, no one in law. Okay. Pray for a lawyer. Always helps. But anyway, an advocate is like a legal term. It's someone who defends you, who supports you. By the way, that is actually one of my roles in our district. When somebody gets in trouble and pastors get in trouble, I am actually their advocate. I stand for them. Even though I know that they have done things, very inappropriate things, they still need an advocate, right? And I will stand and I will advocate for them, right? But the Holy Spirit is our advocate because we need defending. We need support. Do you know who we need the greatest defending and support from? It's actually not Satan. From ourselves. We are our worst critics. We continue to punch ourselves. You know, we are our worst enemy. We battle self-doubt. We judge. We condemn our own selves. And the Holy Spirit, when he fills us, of course, he defends us and supports us from all the nasty noises that are out in the world, the enemy's voice, right? But, you know, there's only one enemy. Okay, he's got demons, right, that do his bidding. But, you know, you got to be a pretty special guy for them to send a demon after you, right? For most of us, he doesn't even need to send his minions towards to us, right? Because we do such a good job at damning our own selves. This is why we need the Holy Spirit, the advocate, to support us, to encourage us, to defend us from ourselves. And the Holy Spirit in us is going to help us to do these greater things. As we keep working on our lives, representing Jesus to the world around us, so that they too will turn their hearts back to the Father. We need the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Ron started talking about the Holy Spirit. I know, he's mysterious, a little scary. It's only because we don't know him that well. That's okay. If you know him, if you figured everything out, why do you need faith? Right? You got to trust the Father, the one who is inviting you to the beyond. Okay, let me talk a little bit about where he's inviting you to. And I'll talk a little bit more about the text and I'll finish. Okay? You know, God's inviting us to partner with Him to do these greater things beyond what's familiar and comfortable in your life, with Him, in your relationship with Him. This is where you will explore the inner world, because there are a lot of things there that we need defending from. All right? Your family. Right? Anybody got struggles in your family? Why are you asking those questions again? You're so nosy. Right? By the way, every leader I meet, I will always ask them about their family. Okay, it's just kind of standard procedure. And those people who say, I got no problems, everything is great. After about 12 minutes, I got problems. That's the Holy Spirit, not me. Right? Your family, West Valley Christian Alliance Church, the world around you. This is where God is inviting you to. Right? Now, here are some things that I want you to remember about this invitation to the beyond that God is inviting. Right? Verse 12 says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing. Right? God is inviting us, the beyond, the willing trust and active obedience. I said this to the morning service, right? Because the majority here are Chinese. I'm going to talk about the Chinese because I work with the Chinese. By the way, a fun thing. So when I joined the Chinese church, right, I was really excited because I love Chinese food, right? And so I was looking forward to eating Chinese food. And so I said, hey, right, I want to know what you guys order, because when I order, all I do is order beef with broccoli, chicken with broccoli. So what do you guys order? You know what they said to me? Beef with broccoli, chicken with broccoli. I was like, what? That's what you order? I said, yeah, that's what we eat. That's what tastes good. So we started eating Chinese food every single day. Okay, I know that some of you guys do this, but man, after about 2 weeks, I said, can we have pizza? I'll pay for it. I mean, Chinese food is good, but it's like every single day. But anyway, but the Chinese also, there's a struggle I noticed. The Chinese are very passive in their approach to life and faith because they don't want conflict. They don't want to rock the boat. They're all about harmony. I want to tell you, harmony is not unity. Harmony is actually not biblical. Unity is. Harmony, you could deny, dismiss, minimize conflict and tensions, and you can present an appearance of harmony. Right? Unity, right? Unity is vastly different, because even though there's conflict, tension, right, you can have unity because you're continuing to talk about it. You're engaging it. You're not just letting it go. Right? You're doing the hard work of continuing to address the challenges that are there. Active obedience. Okay. Number two, right? And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Embrace His authority. Do you guys know that you, as sons and daughters, have the authority, the same authority that Jesus Christ had? Remember, He said, all authority that the Father has given to me, I give to you. Our problem is we don't live our lives with that authority. We struggle as sons and daughters, right? In His name. You know what that means? You know, you ever say this, right? In Jesus' name, let me get 100 on this test. Or just like me, let me pass, all right? You ever done that, asking, using His name? Like, you know, abracadabra, right? Wingardium Leviosa, you know, those guys who are Harry Potter, you know? Or you know, open sesame. Like, come on, you know, that nervous laughter. You know you guys have done this, right? That's not what using Jesus' name means, right? People in the biblical times, whenever the name of someone is invoked, it's talking about the authority behind the name. And the greater the authority, the greater the name. And remember, it's the name of Jesus we get to invoke. It's His authority. But we can only do this as His sons and as His brothers and sisters, right? Not as, you know, some just people who are straggling along, who get to be a part of His band, His gang. We are family. This is when we get to operate in authority. Right? Man, when you start operating, living your life, right, with that authority, let me tell you, things start to happen, right? Supernatural things start to happen. I bless West Valley Christian Alliance Church right here, that the presence of God is so thick. The moving of the Spirit is so powerful that people start to heal. People start to experience the healing power of God, experience deliverance, you know, where the demons are cast out. Hey, I'm not making this stuff. The Bible did it. Talks about Jesus did this everywhere he went. And he called us to do this. This is a part of discipleship. I bless you. Right? Now, I can bless you. It's up to you to embrace that embrace. That embrace that blessing. Final one right here. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Okay. Anybody got problems? Wow. And only one person, that's my hand. I'm the only one who got problems. I know. You know, I know you got problems. Right? Every one of us, no matter how young, we have varying degrees of struggles out there. The problem here is not that we have problems in this world. The problem that the struggle here is that the voices and the noises of the problems are way louder than the voice of God. And that deserves an amen. Right? You know, the struggle to sleep, struggle to have peace, is that the stresses of all these problems are so much louder than the voice of the Prince of Peace. That's why we have sleepless nights. That's why our blood pressure, right? Aside from all that salt we eat, right? And the struggle to hear God's voice, right? The longing to hear, there is a reason why God invites us to be in this intimate relationship so that we can hear his voice. Not so that we can have answers to all these life questions, it's so that we can know the one who is called the Prince of Peace who dwells within us, right? Choose his voice as the primary voice that you listen to in your life. That's the deeper life. Not the voices of so many things that are happening around us. Can I pray for you? Okay. Actually, I don't know how long I've been speaking because I turned the phone off. guys, again, what I get to do, I love what I get to do. And I love that people invite someone like me, my wife, to come do what we do. A confession is this is not very hard to do. The hard part is when I go back to church, when I am part of this community that God has sent me to, and we do life and faith together. Because everything I talked about, we are trying to do it in our church. Right? I leave here, right? And I describe it kind of, I'm like a hired gun. I just come in, I shoot everything, I say, see ya, I don't want to be here. No, I just ride off into the sunset. You guys are still left here to pick up the pieces. You have now the hard job of exploring your inner world. And I'm telling you, right, it's terrifying. Because some of you already know what's there. Some of you don't know and you don't want to find out. Right? But you do it. Not because Pastor Ron or Pastor Sam or anybody else is telling you to do it. It's because of the one who is inviting you, the lover of your soul. He's inviting you to the beyond. And he would never invite you to anywhere to harm you. Right? He's for you, never against you. And to this life that each of us have meant to live to become the kind of person that each and every one of us have become. Been originally intended for us to be, right? The way that he created us for us to be. And there are people here who can help you with this, right? So I invite you, I bless you, continue this journey, not just going through the motions, but to the beyond. Father, we thank you so much that each of us are on this journey, not alone, not just with one another around us, but with you. Will you continue to remind us that you're the one who's continuing to invite us to some places that it feels dangerous. It's terrifying. That's the honest truth. Some places are terrifying that he's inviting. But know who's inviting you and know who's waiting for you there. Thank you, God, that you have chosen us, that you have faith in us, that we will steward this, no matter how challenging it is, that you trust us to go on this journey. Come, honor us with your presence, because you know better than us. And so we give ourselves to you. Be in our homes, be in our relationships, be in our workplaces and our schools. Help us to see the truth of who you are and the truth of the life that you are inviting us to. I pray against the works of the enemy. You have no place here in this church. You have no place in the lives and in the families of everyone sitting here. We belong to Christ. We are His. Lord, help us to know you are with us, never against us, to beat back the gates of hell. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.